My beloved people, I have only 2 points to bring to your attention this morning. The first, of course, is that there's still Epiphany chalk available, and we certainly invite you to make use of this and take it home with you, and you know how to use it. Also, we are approaching Candlemas Day, which is February the 2nd, and is the Feast of the Visitation. And those of you who have candles that you would like to have blessed, please bring them along and place them in that bench or that pew out in the vestibule. Have your candles in somewhat of a little ornamented container, so that when we put them on the altar or around the altar, that they will have a fitting look about them. After Mass this morning, there will be catechism class as we have normally scheduled. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. As already noted, today is the Feast of the Holy Family. It's a very special kind of feast day because it lays stress upon family, which today, due to the various and sundry circumstances that pop up around and about us, family is not quite as it should be. And we do not put into practice that which makes family what it is supposed to be. We hear tell of Saint Joseph. We hear tell of the Blessed Mother, and we hear tell of the baby of the boy Jesus. And as all of you know, or all of us know, we have over the past time stressed the house of Nazareth and what the house of Nazareth must have been like. The unfortunate part of it all is that we today, as we look back upon these persons, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we have a very strong tendency to glamorize them and to glamorize the kind of life that they lived in their time, in their day. We fail to see Jesus as he really was, and we look upon him as someone who we do not understand when we speak of the hypostatic union, that he was both God and man at the same time. We do not comprehend that he was fully God. He was every bit as fully God as he ever was. And that at the same time he was fully man. And the two mysteriously were in union there, yet not one or the other dependent or acting upon the one or the other. Therefore, it would be completely erroneous for us to think or even to suspect that the boy Jesus or that the man Jesus in any part of his life, certainly at his crucifixion, that he was growing up, that he was being assisted by his divinity that was in him. That would be heresy, because it would demonstrate that Christ cheated all the way. Christ came for two reasons, not just one. He came for two reasons. And he was vested in the human vesture for two reasons. We won't go into the theological reason of the one, namely that he came to redeem man, which he did. We will not discuss the theological aspects of that. But he did come down. I think you can safely say that his primary purpose was to redeem man, yes. But a secondary purpose, which was very close to the first purpose, was that he had to make his redemption worthwhile. What good would it have done us if he had redeemed us and not at the same time given us the example that we needed in order to successfully make use of that act of redemption? That act of redemption would have then been completely above and beyond our capabilities, and we could not have reached it. It would have been a very great deal something like the moment after resurrection when he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and when she approached him, she said, he said, "Do not touch me." Christ would have been above us, and we would have had no model to show us what to do. Therefore, Christ, God's plan was that Christ, first of all, was to redeem us, and then to show us how to make use of that redemption. So if Christ had in any way whatsoever, been given extra strength, then he would have been no model to us. He had to operate in every way. He had to operate precisely and exactly, without question, in the same way that we have to operate. And when he in the stable of Bethlehem cried out for the cold, he felt cold. He felt the same cold that any baby, your baby, anybody's baby would have felt had they been under similar, or had the children or the babies been under similar circumstances. And when he grew up, and he went back with them, and the one word in today's gospel that is extremely important is subject. He was subject to them. And he did not make use of his divinity. He did not make use of his divine abilities to learn. He had to learn exactly and precisely the way any one of us has had to learn. And he had to sit down and take out his books, and he had to study his books with the same identical effort that any one of us would have to put out. Now, I know I must hasten to add this, lest perhaps someone might say, "Well, you didn't say it all." We understand fully that Christ was a perfect man. and being perfect in his perfections, that he probably had, he had certainly the abilities and the capabilities that could have been found and probably were found in Adam before his fall. So it could have been that it very likely was that it was a mite easier for him to learn, not because he was given any help from his divinity, but because of his better position in life, his perfection as a perfect human being. But he was subject to them and he was obedient to them. And when Saint Joseph had to teach him the little drawing that's on today's bulletin, we found this week, and it's so fitting, it's so simple, it's so true to life. There's nothing sophisticated about it. It's just life. A loving father sitting down with his loving son, sitting on the floor, learning. The father teaching, the boy learning. We must take the glamour that the ages have put around these individuals. We must take the glamour that we have put around the Blessed Mother Mary. And today the emphasis has been on her queenship. That she was a queen, nobody can doubt that. But as far as I'm concerned, I would much rather have her as my mother than as my queen. Because as my queen, I would have to look at her from a distance, wouldn't I? As my mother, I could go up to her and place my head on her lap and cry when crying is necessary. And she would put her hand on my head, wouldn't she? And she would console me and comfort me and give me strength as mothers, true mothers, give strength to their children. As a queen, she would simply, the best that she could do was probably tell me, I'll see what I can do about it. Is that not correct logic? And Saint Joseph, as much as we love Saint Joseph, the forgotten one, the overlooked one, he was overlooked. Every time you turned around, Saint Joseph was overlooked by somebody. But even so, in our own modern approach, Saint Joseph is very special. Very special indeed. As a matter of fact, though the church has never ever spoken out on this, but there's quite a bit written on the great possibility. So the great possibility, or probability, whichever, that Saint Joseph's body was assumed into heaven also. Certainly he deserved it. But as we look back upon it today, and we see Saint Joseph, I wonder if Saint Joseph would walk into our lives the way he walked into the lives of those around and about him at that time when he was on earth. I wonder if he would have been more welcome in our homes today than he was welcome in the homes of those whom he rubbed shoulders in his day. You will recall that they didn't even know his name. And then when they referred to Christ, the best that they could say for identification was, well, isn't he the, I think he's the carpenter's son down the street. That's as much as they could say about this man. I wonder if he would have been given first place in our homes and at our table today, if he would walk in. And as far as the apostles go, later on, when Christ himself came into his own, and his own received him not, of course, when he came into his own of the 12 apostles, we have said it more than once. How many of these men would we have asked to come and sit at our table? You see, our Lord and his approach was entirely different from ours. And when he gave us example, they didn't take it then. They haven't taken it since, and we ourselves have trouble with his example. Look at our divine Savior from beginning to end. Today we put a great deal of emphasis on what we call, I guess, well, for whatever reason, call scholarship. If one of the first things that people say about someone else, oh, he can speak several, he can speak five languages, as if speaking five languages was really something. When he was born in the stable, after he had been rejected from all places, and the angels came. Did they go up at the hilltop and invite the doctors and the scholars and the scribes and the Pharisees and the learned and the rich and the wealthy and the powerful? Did he have any time at all? Did they go anywhere near these people? They went rather to what we might today say a bunch of ignorant men, dirty, smelling like goats, unable to read, unable to write, very likely. And they asked them to come and see. And they went to see. And somewhat later, three other men appeared. They didn't know even to believe. They were pagan, completely pagan. And as he grew older, when he surrounded himself with the 12, let us let our imagination wander and imagine what these men must have been like. Just imagine. And fishermen, I don't know how much lower in the classification of society one can get than what fishermen might be. Crude, dirty, smelling. I'm trying to bring this down. I'm trying to bring this down out of all glamour, out of all fancy. We fight fantasy, but we have surrounded our religion with fantasy, haven't we? We're fighting the wrong fantasies, perhaps. And Mary Magdalene, and all the rest. Christ's complete listing of people he surrounded himself with was as far as the scale of human evaluation goes, they were the scum. Certainly not anybody that we would pick out to go and associate with. But you see, yes, he was human, completely so. But every now and then his divinity had to peek through. Couldn't help it. And it peeked through. And it looked beyond the fact that these men over here smell like goats. They couldn't read or write. They were ignorant. And he saw something. When the pagans came, they really didn't know, except what they had read about in Scripture, what they were in for. Incidentally, as soon as they came, as soon as they wandered from the divine sign that was in the heavens to lead them, as soon as those men approached other men to get information and direction, and they demanded, "Where is he?" The minute they did that, what happened? What happened? The divine direction disappeared. Disappeared completely. The star vanished, didn't it? Only when they went back to trusting and leaving the direction of other men and putting it aside, only then did the star appear to them once again. And when these pagans, still uncertain of themselves, entered the house, once again, even in the tiniest little child, the divinity peeked through. And they saw a little infant. They looked upon a little infant. They fell on their knees because they saw God. And when they went back home, they were no longer pagan. And when the first, I forgot to mention, when the shepherds first came, their first words were, let's go down and see what this thing is all about. Thing. On their way back, they went back singing and rejoicing. And Mary Magdalene, we know all about Mary Magdalene, don't we? Because in all of these important moments, he couldn't prevent it. The divinity peeked through. Not that it came to his assistance, but that he manifested himself. And today, in this feast of the Holy Family, he should manifest himself to us as well as we can see, but we have to look. We have to be correct in the way we look. And we must look at things precisely as they are. We must not change things. We must not color things. We must not look upon things. And as we so often speak and have been emphasizing lately, we must forget self. And there's a quotation in today's bulletin that's been repeated, maybe repeated again and again, I don't know. It comes from St. Bernard, the great St. Bernard. And he said, do away with self-will, and there will be no hell. You see, the shepherds they could have ignored, and they could have said, what kind of foolishness is this? We've got to tend to our sheep. They come first. Those three men, whether they were kings or otherwise, who knows, who cares? They could have said, that's too far to go. It's halfway around the continent. We can't be bothered. We have matters of state to take care of. We have to make a living. We have to count our money. We have to be about our importance. We have to be about our books and study. And Mary Magdalene and others throughout his life could have kept their distance too, and could have said within themselves, why am I approaching him? He is superior to me. I am trash. I am this. I am that. But no. Do away with self-will, because that keeps, it's like building a mountain, a wall like a mountain between us and perfection. And of course, it is the offspring of pride. So today, let us look at family. Let us look at our family. Let us look at the way we're raising our children. Does it mean that we should smother them with our affection? But it does mean that we should give them direction, the right kind of direction. The main one today, of course, is discipline. He was subject to them. Do you not suppose there may have been times There may have been times, it's not too far-fetched to assume this, there may have been times when our Blessed Mother, our Blessed Joseph, might have said to our Blessed Lord, please hurry. Might have scolded slightly. I need this now. And can we not imagine that Saint Joseph might have been asking him to go on an errand at precisely the same moment that his mother needed something, a pail of water from the well, and that he had to run in order to accommodate the needs of both of them. And when he did go and fulfill his chores, do you not think that he was tempted to lollygag along the way and see his playmates? And he did have playmates. And he did laugh. So did the Blessed Mother. So did Saint Joseph. Interestingly enough, there is a group or crowd or whatever you want to call them that today insist that our Blessed Lord never laughed. How utterly wrong. And it becomes, we had someone here at one time who would not let us laugh. And every time we laughed, he was scandalized. And that same individual today, in order to make sure that his thinking gets some kind of recognition, called upon the angel. And they came down from heaven, the angels did, and they elected him Pope. So, in times past, I don't know when this election took place, very likely we had a Pope in our midst and none of us were smart enough to see it. We have got to learn how to be Catholic. We have got to learn how to be correct Catholic. And there alone, is where our own personal happiness will be. It isn't in the fulfillment of do this and don't do that. We've got to learn that, and this is what is being presented to us, as much as it can be presented. So my beloved people, I ask you to go and think things out correctly, praying always for the grace of God in everything we do. I would like, as I leave again, if I could put as strong a blessing upon you as possible for me in my weakness. And that all the people, all the individuals that were involved around the life of Jesus Christ, that these same ones, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the apostles, all of them, Mary Magdalene, anyone, the good thief, any of them, all of them, and that all the angels in heaven, legions of them, will come down and be with you and be with us. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Nothing. My beloved people, please kneel.